This is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. Welcome to the Homeschooling with Technology show. Your host, Meryl Vandermeerva, loves using technology to streamline her life and to make lessons more engaging. She is a graduated homeschool mom and teaches homeschoolers at her local co-op classes and online at fundafundaacademy.com. Whether you are tech-challenged or someone who loves technology, this show is for you. And here's your host, Meryl Vandermeerva.
Hello, and welcome to the Homeschooling with Technology podcast. I am your host, Meryl Vandermeerva, and today in episode 266, we're going to be looking at teaching students to use Tinkercad. And I have a guest with me today, Robert Walsh. Welcome, Robert.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
So Robert is from Excalibur Solutions STEM Academy. And before we get into the actual topic, I'd just like Robert to introduce himself and his website and explain how he got into teaching students online.
Well, thanks, Meryl. As she said, my name is Robert Walsh, and I am the founder of the Excalibur Solutions STEM Academy. I started my career in education. I have a bachelor's degree in secondary math education, and I taught public school for about 3 years before I decided to move on and do something a little bit different. So I moved into technology, and I did a variety of things in technology before sort of settling down as a computer programmer, and that's what I've spent the majority of my 30 or so year career doing. But I realized sort of late into my career that a lot of people, students specifically, don't have the opportunity to learn computer topics, electronics, what we call STEM, science, technology, engineering, and math, with a specific focus on technology and engineering, because I think those subjects get sort of short shrift in our education system today. And so I decided I wanted to use my sort of unique background to help students have opportunities to explore topics in those areas. So I went back to school. I got a master's degree in STEM leadership, and I started this foundation. Sorry, not a foundation, an academy, where we teach programming, electronics, 3D design, and other concepts from technology and engineering.
Right. Okay. So we've talked about what STEM is. Why do you think every student needs some sort of STEM education, particularly for those who maybe are not interested in going into any type of STEM career?
Sure. I think there's two main reasons. I think, first of all, that for school-age students, it's hard for them to know what they want to do in their futures. And so if you don't get any exposure to STEM education when you're young, and then decide later, like when you're in the university system, that maybe you want to pursue that, there's an awful lot of foundational material that you're going to have to catch up on. And so if you get those opportunities early, then you are better prepared to make those decisions later, either in college or as a career, because you've got something to fall back on. We often don't know what we like to do until we have a chance to do it. And so it gives students the opportunity to sort of make a better and more informed decision about what they want to do with their future.
Let me stop you there. I can just say that as parents sometimes don't understand the world of technology enough and sometimes make judgment calls for their children. And I've seen that. I had one family who the mom enrolled the son in my Python class. And about 3 weeks in, she messaged me and said, "Would you mind if my daughter joined? I know it's late, but she'll catch up," because she kept walking past and seeing what her brother was doing. And she was fascinated. The mom had not considered it. So particularly if you're out there with a girl, girls do STEM too. They're good at it. So, and she had just assumed her daughter was not interested. So as a parent, you might think, this is not something my kid's going to be into. You do not know. Give them exposure. Yes.
The statistics vary, but somewhere between 30 and 80% of students who go to college end up changing their major at least one time. And there are pretty significant statistics that say people change it two or three times. So, don't assume that your 11-year-old who says they want to grow up to be a whatever, that that's actually what they're going to grow up to be. And I like to think that we can give them a broad foundation that will prepare them for a number of different careers or pursuits. The other thing I think that you get from STEM education is a kind of like the analog, I guess, would be a general studies background. You get a little bit of knowledge about how to manage a project, how to solve problems, how to think critically and logically, how to order a sequence of steps. And these are things that we do in all facets of life. This is not just technology skills. These are things that we do mm-hmm. in everyday life solving problems. I personally believe that learning to be a computer programmer will make you a better writer, because computer programming teaches you to be sensitive to things like word choice and punctuation, and the grammar rules are very strictly enforced. So in mm-hmm. English, we can get away with a lot of mistakes and still be understood. Someone once told me that English is perhaps the easiest language to speak badly and still be understood. So, but you can't do that with a computer. The computer is going to analyze everything. And if it's not exactly the way the computer wants to see it, your program won't run. And so I believe that if you learn to be attentive to the details that are necessary for computer programming, that when you go into general writing, you're also going to be more attentive to the details than you would otherwise have been.
Right. If you need any more convincing, I did a whole episode, I don't know how long ago now, that was just on what you can learn from programming that's got nothing to do with programming. Just all these extras.
Yeah,
I'll put that in the show notes, plus a link to Robert's website and anything else we need to have links to. And you can just scroll down to find the show notes or go to homeschoolingwithtechnology.com. All right, now let's launch into today's topic, and that is Tinkercad. Can you tell us more about what Tinkercad is?
Sure. Tinkercad is a web-based application, and what that means is that you can go to a website and you run the program inside your web browser, so there's nothing to download or install onto your own computer. And it's created by the Autodesk Corporation, and if you're not familiar with Autodesk, they're perhaps best known for the AutoCAD design tool that is used by architects and engineers for doing all sorts of professional 2D and 3D design. Tinkercad is free, so you can go and you can sign up and create a free account. And it's got multiple modes of operation. I think it's probably perhaps best known as a 3D modeling tool. So you take 3D primitive shapes. And what I mean by that are cubes and spheres and cylinders and other things that you compose to create objects. And so like you could turn a rectangular prism and a pyramid type structure into a car or a house or whatever. And so you learn about 3D spatial manipulation, where you're putting shapes and objects into 3D space and combining them together. You can take your models and then print them out on a 3D printer if you have access either at home or perhaps your local public library has one. The second mode that Tinkercad offers is what's called virtual circuits mode. And in this mode, you simulate physical electronic circuits that use something called a breadboard, which is a way of attaching components to one another. And you can create, you can power these circuits and then simulate them with simulated batteries or with what's called a microcontroller, like an Arduino or a Microbit. And these are small computers that are available in physical terms in the real world, but they are simulated almost perfectly inside the Tinkercad virtual world. So you get familiar with how to build electrical circuits, how to use these microcontrollers and so on, without having to deal with the lost or the broken components, not having exactly mm-hmm. the component that you need, or the physical dexterity that is necessary to manipulate these LEDs and resistors when you work with a physical circuit. There's a third mode in Tinkercad called Code Blocks, and this is similar to the 3D design tools, except that instead of sort of dragging and dropping the components to merge them together, you actually write programs in a language that's very similar to Scratch. It's a block-based mm-hmm. drag and drop language where you just snap pieces together, but you're manipulating 3D objects when you write these programs. And so once you're sort of familiar with 3D design, you can take and inject a programming approach to creating your models as opposed to manipulating them freehand. There's finally, one fourth tool That is sort of a lesser part of Tinkercad, and it's not one I've experimented much with, but it's a physics lab. And so you're able to go in and do things like springs and motion and other things that you would experiment with in physics, but it's all simulated inside of the Tinkercad environment.
Oh, okay. I must actually tell, we're going to be offering physics next year through Fund Academy, the show sponsor. And I must mention that to the physics teacher to go and have a look. That sounds very cool. What age do you think is the youngest that could manage to use Tinkercad? Because obviously, you know, listening to it, it sounds fairly complicated.
So I think somebody as early as maybe third or fourth grade would probably be a good age to start in Tinkercad, because you can't mess up. It's an open playground where you get to experiment, and there are tutorials that will guide you through creating different kinds of projects so that you get sort of a foundational understanding of how it works and things like that. So, and it really doesn't take much dexterity to move a mouse to take a cube from the little gallery and drop it onto your workspace, and then take a sphere and come over and attach it to your cube. Now, it may require some trial and error for the student to become comfortable rotating that 3D world around and positioning those two shapes in a specific relationship to one another. But the circuit tool, even, you know, once you kind of understand what a breadboard does and how the different components need to be attached on it, it's a matter of just dragging and dropping and then pointing and clicking to connect wires between one component and another. Okay. So I think, you know, middle to late elementary school is a good place to start. And then it grows with you. So you're able to do more and more complex things as you get more familiar with it, and you gain other skills and knowledge through other subjects that you might be taking in school.
So if a student now sits down, obviously you've said there are tutorials within Tinkercad. If they go through all those tutorials and they want to go further, where else can they learn more about Tinkercad?
Well, there are tutorials for things like Tinkercad all over the web. You can find people who have YouTube channels that are dedicated to, you know, projects in Tinkercad. So, you know, if you're resourceful and are good at finding these sorts of things out on the internet at large, there are plenty of things out there, both that are specific to Tinkercad or that use what you've learned in Tinkercad, either in the 3D modeling or in the circuitry modes. To take your knowledge a little bit farther. So for example, there's a free software tool called Blender, which is a 3D modeling tool. And if you are familiar with how 3D shapes are manipulated in Tinkercad, that applies directly to what you can do with 3D shapes in Blender. But you have a lot more control in Blender than you would in Tinkercad. You have the same sort of things. You know, there are people who are giving tutorials and lessons on electronic circuits that are not specific to Tinkercad, but if you understand the basic principles, then you'll be able to take these lessons and tutorials that they're doing that are more generic and create a Tinkercad model to see what it is that they have created.
Right. Oh, it sounds amazing. I actually have not ever played with it, which is why when I, you know, I just realized when you knew about it that you could come and talk to us, because I can't share information that I don't have with my
listeners.
It's
a really great tool. It's got a very shallow learning curve, you know, so it's easy to get up and running, and you can just sort of start with nothing and take off from there.
I have a student in mind who I think would absolutely love this, who's an eighth grader right now. And I think I might set him loose and then get him to come on the podcast and say what he did with it afterwards.
Yeah, that sounds fantastic.
But I definitely think he'd be great. Okay, now tell us, I know that Tinkercad is part of your actual academy, your subscription program that you have. So, yes, as you say, I know so much, you can find so much now to learn free, but sometimes as homeschool parents, we don't have the time to see what's going to work for our child or not. And it's just actually saves money, really, to actually just buy a subscription program or to buy a class. And so if you just want to tell us a little bit about what you offer and how Tinkercad fits into that.
Sure. So our subscription program, as I said earlier, is sort of aimed at teaching computer programming, electronics, 3D modeling, and other sort of concepts from within the T and the E part of STEM education. And so Tinkercad figures prominently in the 3D modeling and the electronics portions of our subscription. So within our subscription, the projects are divided by grade level. So we have sort of an elementary third through sixth grade and a 7 through 12. We have projects that are in Tinkercad, both doing circuits and doing 3D modeling, both freehand and with the code component in the code blocks area, in both of those sections. So we have things that the elementary students can do. We have things that the more advanced students can do. And so the part that I focus most on in the projects that I create for our academy is the electronic circuits. And so we use Tinkercad. We teach schematics, which is the engineering drawings associated with electrical circuits. And then we use Tinkercad to create a prototype using that design as our starting point. And then in some of our projects, we'll then take that prototype and turn it into a physical circuit using an electronics kit that you might purchase from Amazon. You know, they're very inexpensive and they have all sorts of components and things that you can do. But we start with the basics and we teach voltage, current, resistance. We show the relationship of that by teaching what Ohm's law is and how you can use Ohm's law to calculate one of the missing components if you know the other two properties of your circuit. In the 3D modeling, we have a project, for example, that teaches kids, and this is an elementary project, to design a fantasy world. And the sample that we use in the project is a castle. And so you create the castle and the grounds, and then you model one interior space in that world as well. We have another where you create an amusement park and you design all the different rides for the amusement park using the 3D components. And so we're really just trying to show through Tinkercad things that you might be familiar with in the real world and how you then take an engineering view of those things to sort of dissect them and understand how they work.
I did notice when I was looking around Robert's site that there is a month free trial before. So this is a no-brainer. You know, go along, sign up for the free trial, and you can see whether your child would love it or whether it's not for you. So it's, you really have nothing to lose to go and take a look. Final question. Are there any other programs like Tinkercad that people might not know about? You've mentioned Blender.
Yes, there are. And these are some that I'm a little less familiar with, but they're intriguing and they're things I want to explore further. One of them is Microsoft MakeCode, and that's microsoft.com/MakeCode. And it's similar in some respects to Tinkercad in that it lets you simulate a what's called a micro bit. And a micro bit is another microcontroller similar to an Arduino, but simpler. And Tinkercad can emulate the micro bit as well, but the MakeCode project does it a little bit more thoroughly. And so it, I think, may be easier for younger students to manipulate because the LEDs are on the board and you don't have to manipulate the resistors and things like that. But you get to make really cool projects involving light and sound and motion and joysticks and things like that. And so that's a really, really neat project. And they do more than just the electronics as well. They do JavaScript. I think there's a little bit of Python in MakeCode as well. Another one that I've just sort of stumbled upon recently is called WokWi, W-O-K-W-I. And that's their website, wokwi.com. And it's sort of like taking what you can do with an Arduino inside of Tinkercad and expanding on that. So you get a more realistic experience using WokWi than you might in Tinkercad, although the Tinkercad experience is actually quite good and very realistic, in my opinion. But this might be something that, you know, once a student has sort of feels like they have exhausted what they can do in Tinkercad, WokWi might let them go to the next level. Let me just say one more thing. I'm sorry to interrupt, the main difference, I think, is that Tinkercad in their electronic circuit components supports both a block-based programming language similar to Scratch and also the native C++ dialect that the Arduino uses if you have a physical Arduino. When you go to the WokWi tool, you don't have the block-based support anymore. It's purely text-based C++.
So, okay, that sounds great. Okay, I didn't even know about, I knew the first one and I did not know about the other one. So this is really interesting. We will have a link to all those. I will put links for all the different resources that Robert has mentioned, so you can go and take a look, but definitely go and look at his. Robert, is where can we find you online? Okay, I know it's stem.excalibur-solutions.com is the
Yes.
website. Are you on social media?
So yes, we are on Instagram at Excalibur STEM. We are on Facebook at Excalibur STEM. We have a LinkedIn page. I don't know that I could tell you the URL for it right off the top of my head, but I'll make sure you have it if you want to
Thanks.
put it in the
Yes.
show notes as well. And then I can give you my personal LinkedIn. I'm happy to connect and message anybody who is more interested in talking about what we've talked about here today.
Well, thank you so much, Robert. This has been everything I hoped it would be and a little more. And now I have some concept of what Tinkercad is and what it can achieve. And I personally am going to go and play around with it because this is my kind of jam too. There's so much I don't know and would love to learn. So definitely come summer. I might not get around to it before then, but I will be looking to see how I can suggest some of my students can be using it. So thank
Very
you.
good. Well, thank you so much for having me. I've enjoyed talking with you today.
And thank you all for listening in again. Do join us on Facebook in our Homeschooling with Technology podcast community. And if you found this useful, share it with a friend who you might think would be interested as well. Give us a rating and review and help us be found by others. That's it for today, and I will see you again, same time, same place next week.
Thanks for tuning in to Homeschooling with Technology with Meryl Vandemerva. Visit her at fundafundaacademy.com and homeschoolingwithtechnology.com. Homeschooling with Technology is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network.